Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The Irish Times Business Podcast in association with Irish Life.
Supporting companies and their employees for 75 years. We know Irish Life. We are Irish Life.
Hello and welcome to this special episode of the Irish Times Business Podcast. This is Thursday, June 9th. I'm Ciarán Hancock, and after 89 days, the trial involving four former executives of Anglo-Irish Bank and Irish Life and Permanent has delivered its final verdict. Former ILMP Chief Executive Dennis Casey was today found guilty by the jury of conspiracy to defraud investors in connection with a €7.2 billion circular transaction between the financial institutions between March and September 2008. On Wednesday of last week, the jury in the case returned guilty verdicts in relation to Anglo's former finance director Willie McAteer and former Anglo head of capital markets John Bowe. On Friday of last week, it delivered a not guilty verdict in relation to ILMP's former finance director Peter Fitzpatrick. Joining me in studio is Colm Keane, the Irish Times legal correspondent who spent the past 3 weeks patiently awaiting the jury's verdicts on the four men. Colm, tell us what happened in court today.
Well, what happened in court today was that in the afternoon we heard that the jury was coming back. We all went and sat there. The jury came out, asked if they had a verdict. They said they had a verdict. They said that that they found that Mr. Casey was guilty. There was very calm response to that in the room. There were a few family members there. Nothing was said. There were, as far as I could see, no tears, no great show of emotion. The jury was then discharged by the judge, Martin Nolan, after he praised their performance, the diligence and care about which they went there with. About which they had taken with the job, and the Mr. Casey then left the court. He looked composed, but looked quite shook to me.
Right. Okay. Let's just remind listeners about the charges that the four men faced. Just sort of sum up the
well,
case.
Well, the charge, like. The same charge, was against all four men. So it was essentially four trials run alongside each other for administrative convenience, and the charge was that they conspired together to mislead investors and the public by creating a false impression as to the financial health of Anglo-Irish Bank at the time of its year-end, September 2008.
Right, so this was €7.2 billion worth of money, which was effectively going between the two. It looked as if it was you know, new money, if you like, for Anglo, but essentially it was a circular transaction.
A circular transaction. The bulk of it happened on the 29th and 30th of September. There were six €1 billion transactions went back and forth. An interesting idea is whether it was the same €1 billion. Every time the €1 billion, you know, passed back in through the doors of Anglo-Irish Bank, it clicked up the amount on deposit by €1 billion. And then it would go back out again over to Irish Life and Permanent and back in again through via Irish Life Assurance. But when it was deposited in Anglo-Irish Bank, it got mixed up with other money. So you couldn't see if it was the same billion that came back out again, but there were six sequential transactions that all ticked up the amount of money.
And of course, we should remind ourselves that Anglo collapsed effectively in late 2008. It fell into state ownership in 2009. The investors in Anglo were wiped out.
Yes.
Ultimately, taxpayers got wiped out as well. Yes. The bailout money that was put into Anglo has essentially been lost, or practically all of it being lost. So, you know, this was a big financial hit at the time.
Yeah, well, I don't know how many people put money into Anglo-Irish Bank subsequent to late September 2008, you'd have a better view on that than I would. But it certainly was a very serious misleading of the markets and of the public, given the figure involved, 7.2 billion.
And this, I think, is the longest trial of its kind in Irish legal history. You've mentioned that in your reports on several occasions. And you said in your report in this morning's newspaper that the judge finished his charge to the jury on Tuesday, May the 11th. Why is it taking the jury...
May 17th.
Why is it taking them so long to actually come up with a verdict?
Well, the trial started in January. There was a lot of complicated transactions involved. Then they had to be satisfied that it was conspiracy going on. They had to be satisfied in relation to each particular accused that it was beyond reasonable doubt. There was evidence in passing heard about the so-called Green Jersey agenda and so on. There was the position of the Irish Life and Permanent people that while they entered into these transactions, they didn't know until afterwards how Anglo-Irish Bank was going to treat them in their books, and evidence that they could have been treated differently in the Anglo-Irish Bank's books. There could have been notes put in that explained the background to these transactions, in which case the transactions might not have been illegal. It is possible for banks to help each other out and bolster their accounts at year end, and is apparently a practice that it's not illegal as long as the property accounted for and there's some risk involved for the depositor. But I think it's fair to say that it's obvious from the way the jury gave Mr. Fitzpatrick an innocent verdict and Mr. Casey a guilty verdict, that they not only distinguished between the Anglo and Irish Life situations, but also between the two accused who came from Irish Life itself. So all the indications are, given that they spent 14 days, I think more than 60 hours deliberating, one of the longest deliberations that anybody can remember in an Irish criminal case, they took their job very seriously and went into great detail.
At Irish Life, we can tell you that 49% of employees in Ireland don't think about tomorrow. They don't have a pension plan. We can help you help them. Because if you're involved in running your company's pension plan, we can administer it for you. With our member-specific investment solutions, online access for employers, trustees and members, and always on smartphone apps. Just call one of our corporate team on 01704 1845. Visit irishlifecorporatebusiness.ie or contact your pension consultant to find out how we can help your company think of tomorrow. We know Irish Life. We are Irish Life. Irish Life Assurance PLC is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. All information source for Irish Life, September 2014.
The next stage is sentencing. When are we going to get that?
On July 25th, we'll hear on the sentencing. This conspiracy charge isn't a statute charge. It's not a criminal offence that's set down in the statute of the Oireachtas and has a minimum and maximum sentence. So it's more one where it'll be more up to the court to decide what's the appropriate sentence. The judge, in the absence of the jury way back in February, did make a ruling as to the issue of the financial regulator and the involvement, the attitude of the financial regulator and whether the people involved in these transactions might have been led into illegality by the attitude of the financial regulator. Dennis Casey actually gave evidence in the absence of the jury in relation to that matter. None of the accused gave evidence to the actual trial. But back in February, the judge did rule, while ruling on this legal issue, that the attitude of the financial regulator was not a defence. So therefore, if the financial regulator told you you can do this and you went off and did it, it was still an offence because it was an offence. But he did say that it could be a factor when it came to sentencing. It could be a mitigation factor. On the other hand, it's a very serious issue, like you said at the outset, and 7.2 billion. So, they are the two issues that I would say will be featuring in the judge's mind, as well as perhaps the age of the three men who've now been found guilty, and the fact that their motivations were, I think, as the judge also said when ruling on the issue of the legal issue back in February, their motivations were really stopping their institutions from collapsing, stopping the banking system from collapsing rather than any other, you know, personal motivations.
And there was no personal gain for any of these men.
No, other than maintaining the life of their institutions and their jobs, I suppose. But
Now, we've refrained from covering the verdicts until all of them were in. So perhaps you could just take us back to last week when the first three were handed down. I mean, what was the reaction, for example, of Willie McAteer and John Bowe and their families when they were found guilty, and similarly for Peter Fitzpatrick when he was found not guilty?
Well, when the two Anglo executives were found guilty, it seemed reasonably subdued to me, and they went away. There were family members there with them, and they were pretty stunned and upset. I didn't see them outside the court after they left. However, when Mr. Fitzpatrick was found innocent on Friday, there was crying among the family members behind me, and Mr. Fitzpatrick put his head in his hands and seemed to be crying himself. Then outside in the court, there was a lot of hugging and emotion. When they left court, I think it was pretty clear there was a very healthy spring in the step of Mr. Fitzpatrick. Then Mr. Casey today looked pretty stunned and struck me perhaps as a man who was trying to you know, maintain his dignity or whatever and not show his emotions, but looked pretty stunned to me.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the ages of the various men. I mean, Willie McAteer, 65, John Bowe, 52, Dennis Casey, 56, Peter Fitzpatrick, 63. So Willie McAteer, and Peter Fitzpatrick at the latter end of their business careers, if you like.
Absolutely. And Mr. McAteer has already been through an earlier trial and has another one facing him.
Yeah, I mean, there are more Anglo trials to come. This is a saga, if you like, that's going to go on for a few more years, isn't
it? Yeah. No, it's very, leaving aside all the people who are dragged into it and the background to it, from a legal point of view, it's a very interesting phenomenon. These are really massive white-collar crime criminal trials, first of their kind, really, in the Irish state. This is the longest criminal trial, probably by far the most expensive criminal trial we've ever had in this state. It's just ended, and there's a couple of more coming down the tracks, and they really are just the consequences of Anglo-Irish Bank and the panic of 2008 and so on, working its way through the legal system. As people say, you know, the wheels of justice grind slowly, but they grind, and we've reached a point now where they're all appearing before the courts.
Yeah, right. Was there any special words for the jurors from the judge, after they delivered their final verdict today? Have they been given any dispensation in terms of future jury service?
Oh, sure. They're told they never have to serve again. The judge said there's two things really a good citizen should do, is vote and do jury service when asked, and that they've certainly done the second, and that he could tell that they did their job very well and put a lot of effort into it. They're a very attentive jury. Everybody's agreed on that, and I think it's obvious from their deliberations that they took their position, they took their job extremely seriously. And he told them, you know, unless you want to, you don't have to do jury service again. But he said they were a credit to the jury system and to themselves.
Right. Presumably this has been a very expensive trial. Do we have any sense of how much it's cost?
I don't know, but a good number of millions. Charges were brought in 2013. The investigation began in 2009. There was a massive amount of documentation to go through. Senior counsel being consulted from very early on. In terms of the state's cost, to be very many millions. And then the costs for the accused, I think most, apart from Willie McAteer, the others, I think their costs have been carried by AIG insurers to their former employers. But it's a big, big number, you know.
Yeah. And obviously the sentencing hasn't been handed down yet, so I suppose we should wait for that really first. But I mean, I presume there's an avenue of appeal open to the men who've been found guilty.
People can appeal against conviction. They can appeal against sentence, whether they will or not.
Right, and the men are on bail, essentially.
They're on bail, continuing bail, yeah.
Sentencing. Okay, Colm Keenan, thank you for that. Declan Conlon produced the show, this special episode of the Irish Times Business Podcast. Don't forget, you can get the latest business news straight into your inbox by signing up to our Business Today email at irishtimes.com. You can also follow the Irish Times business feed on Twitter and Facebook, and we will have plenty of coverage of the Anglo verdicts. I'm Ciarán Hancock. Until next time, take care.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.